Hello, everyone out there. This is Peter Harris from Commercial Property Advisors, author of the book Commercial Real Estate Investing for Dummies, and coach and mentor to many commercial real estate investors all across this great nation of ours. The title and subject of today's podcast is
7 Blunders When Making Offers on Investment Property. These 7 blunders will cost you lots of money, a ton of wasted time, and make this business much more difficult than it ought to. So I'm going to share with you what those 7 blunders are, why they're blunders, what to do instead, so that you can save money, save time, and make your offer-making process a whole lot easier. All right, let's get started. Blunder number 1 is not working directly with the seller. What does that mean? That means there's no middleman. There's no real estate agent. There's no one in between you and the seller. You are texting, calling, emailing directly, negotiating, developing rapport with the seller directly. No one in between. If you're not doing that, that is a blunder. Here is why. It answers the question, where are all the good deals? I get this question almost daily. The best deals, the good deals are working directly with the seller. It's not found on the MLS. It's not found on LoopNet or Craigslist. It is found by going direct to the property, no middlemen. And at Commercial Property Advisors, we are the best at it. The second reason why is it allows you to get seller motivations of why they're selling. Why is that important? It's because when you can understand the seller motivation, you can create your offer around the seller motivation. Here's a quick example. Let's say the seller has property needs lots of repairs, or he doesn't want to pay capital gains taxes if he sells, right? Because you're pulling this out of him, or that maybe he doesn't have financial documentation now that you discovered that because you're talking directly to him. So once you understand his motivations, you can structure deals around that. So what you do is, if you can get the seller motivations, you can structure the best deal terms possible. It also opens you up for seller financing. What if you don't have a lot of money, or you have damaged credit? If you understand the seller motivation and why they want to sell, you can structure something creative. Again, what if the seller needs property repairs and his property is not bankable? Because you're working directly with them and you understand the seller's motivations, you can structure something creatively. So it's very important that you go direct if you want to do seller financing. Lastly, by going direct, the seller pays no real estate commission. That is huge. On a $1 million multifamily commercial deal, that's $60,000 that the seller's saving because there's no one in between. There's no real estate agent. That is huge. And that may make all the difference with the seller working with you because you went to that person direct. That is blunder number 1, not working directly with the seller. If you want to learn more about working directly with a seller, go ahead and text Peter to 833-942-4516 and have a chat with us. Blunder number 2 is not doing your homework. And why is that important? Because you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. When we're going direct with property owners or even working with agents, it's important that you do your homework because they are wondering who you are, what's your credibility, can you perform? So you better make sure you set a good first impression. How do you do that? You need to learn about the seller's needs, number 1. Number 2, the property. And then 3, learn about the market. So number 1, why is it important to understand the seller's needs? Is because this is part of doing your homework. What if the seller says, when you're investigating the property and you're talking with the seller and the property says something like this, he goes, Peter, I do want to sell, but is it possible that I can keep some of the income on the property because this is how my wife and I survive. We want to sell the property, but you know, we live off the income. Now, some of you may have no clue what to do. We do because we deal with this all the time. That is a complete open window for a master lease, seller financing. Because you did your homework and you pulled the seller motivation, when you make your offer, now your offer will address the seller's needs. That's number 1. Number 2 is understanding a little bit about the property. What if the rents are under market? So let's say you're doing your homework. You find out that the market rents are at $1,000 per month, but he's only charging $750. So you have a $250 per month upside in your rents. That's huge, right? So when you're making your offers, it is very possible you can offer the seller his full asking price, knowing that you have all this upside to achieve, and over the long term, you're going to win. This is what doing your homework is about. And number three, knowing the market. So what if the area is declining? Would your offer change? Of course it would. You need to really understand where the property sits in the market and what the rest of the market is doing. Job-wise, employment-wise, rent-wise, vacancy-wise, all of that. You must do your homework, because if you don't do your homework, you're going to lose a lot of opportunity or make a mistake. Blunder number three is letting your emotions get in the way. Why is that a blunder when making offers? Here's the reason why. Never fall in love with the property, fall in love with the numbers. I am a coach to people from the East Coast, West Coast, all over America, and I get to deal with students on a daily basis, and they bring me deals on a daily basis. And when emotions go up, intelligence goes down. Here's an example. They will tell me, when I'm looking at a horrible deal with our students, they will tell me, but Peter, owning this property is my dream. And I will tell them, if you buy it, it will be a nightmare because your emotions are in the way. This property does not cash flow and there's no upside to this property. Or they'll tell me, but Peter, this is lakefront property. It's a gold mine. And I'll tell them, look at our spreadsheet, our calculator. What's the cash flow? Oh, Peter, but it's negative $3,000 a month. Yes, it is. It's not a gold mine. They let their emotions get in the way of making the best offers. This is a complete blunder. And it goes back to, when emotions go up, intelligence goes down. And there is absolutely no room for this in real estate investing. Blunder number four is not knowing everything in the contract. So when you are making an offer on a multifamily or commercial, the contract is completely different from making an offer on a home. There's lots of other clauses in here because you're pretty much buying a business. So those clauses may be complex. There may be big words. Why is that important? It's because this is a law in our company, Commercial Property Advisors. Every student that we work with, there is no contract does not get past this before they sign it. And it is. Here's the law. There shall be no gray areas to you in the contract. If there's anything in the contract, a word or a clause that you're not familiar with, you put the brakes on and you stop and you ask a question, whether it's your attorney or us or the real estate agent. If you don't have an understanding of that clause or word, you stop. If you do not have a complete understanding, do not do the deal. Understand? The reason why is you're about to sign a legally binding agreement. The contract is legally binding and you're responsible for it. So even if you're working with a real estate agent, even with an attorney, you're signing it. They're not signing it. You are responsible. Whether you have an attorney or a real estate agent representing you, you are responsible for this. So you need complete understanding. And if you don't have full understanding, it can come back and bite you really harshly, where you're going to lose money, you're going to lose the deal, and you can lose the seller confidence. So you can see the word lose is three times. So not having a complete understanding of the contract will lead to loss. Blunder number five is missing contract contingencies. What that is, once you are thinking about making an offer on your multifamily or investment property or commercial property, you need to have contingencies in the contract so they protect you. These are protection clauses, your protection clauses. For example, the first one is an inspection contingency, meaning that you're allowed 30 days to inspect the property to do whatever you want. And if you don't like something in a property, you can terminate the contract. So that means the contract is contingent upon you performing an inspection. There's also a finance contingency in the contract, and that finance contingency states that you are given, let's see, 30 to 45 days to find an acceptable loan, and if you can't, you can get yourself out of the contract. So the contract is contingent upon you finding a good loan. The third one is title contingency, which is this contract is contingent upon you receiving at closing a clean title, meaning no liens, no seller lawsuits involved in anything like that, clean title. And then the one that's mostly forgotten is the appraisal contingency, which says that this contract is contingent upon the property appraising for the purchase price. And if it doesn't appraise for that much, you can back out of the contract. And with all four of these things here, if you terminate the contract, you can get your earnest money back. So why did I list these four? It's because a lot of the contracts that are using a real estate broker or agent, a lot of times some of these are missing and you need all four. We call these the big four contingencies. All four need to be in every contract. If it's not in there, you need to put it in. So blunder number five is missing one of these contingencies. Why is this so important? It's because of caveat emptor. Caveat emptor means buyer beware. When you're writing an offer for an investment property, a commercial property, you have little consumer protection laws, okay, working for you, especially in commercial. In commercial real estate, buyer beware, caveat emptor plays a huge role in it because when you purchase a single family home or residential property, the seller has to provide you a form of disclosures on all of the faults of the property. If he doesn't have financials, if the roof has been replaced within X number of years, if there's a foundation problem, or if you have a tenant problem, they have to disclose all that. In commercial, they don't have to. There are no disclosures that a commercial property owner has to give you. MTOR, very important, okay? Now, the second reason why missing contingency can be a big blunder is because you can be sued, okay, for specific performance. Let's say that you didn't have a finance contingency in here, and then down the road, you discover, Mr. Seller, I can't get a loan, right? The interest rates are too high, or the lender rejected me. He can sue you for specific performance, which is basically, if you don't complete the contract, I will sue you for damages. They can do that. Is called specific performance. It's in almost every contract. And that will take place if you're missing any of these four. Blunder number six is unrealistic contingencies. Remember that contract contingencies protect you from the what ifs. What if I can't get a loan? What if I can't? What if I find a foundation that's broken? What if I find a lot of repairs? What if? And if you find these what-ifs, you can terminate the deal and get your earnest money back. But if you set realistic contingencies, that's a true blunder, you're going to lose your earnest money deposit. That's what will happen. You will lose your hard-earned money. That money go direct to the seller, and you have lost the deal, and the seller walks away. Not good. Do not blunder that way, right? So the question is, why and what's unrealistic? What's an unrealistic contract contingency? Well, number one is if you set a 7-day inspection contingency, meaning that the contract says you have 7 days to inspect your 40-unit property, that is unrealistic. Ain't gonna happen. You need 30 business days, preferably, to inspect everything, to hire the inspector, to get the roofer out there, to get an electrician out there, get a plumber out there, get the structural guy out there, get all the reports, review it with your coach, and then see if it's a viable deal or not, or go back and renegotiate with the seller to come up with a better deal. That takes 30 days, not 7 days. So if the seller or the agent forces you into a 7-day inspection contingencies, you are being set up for failure. That is a blunder. Another unrealistic contingency would be a 30-day closing, especially if it's commercial real estate. Again, ain't gonna happen. 30-day closing, in fact, the loan process itself will take more than 30 days. So how can you get the loan all together and all that, and then close on your 30th day. It's not going to happen. So instead, get 60 to 90 days in your contract for closing. So from the day you sign the contract to the day you close, there's a 60 to 90 day gap there. So, which is typical in commercial. We do need that much time. If you have less time, you're setting yourself up for failure. That will be a blunder. Blunder number 7, which is not having a fully executed contract. I know it seems so simple, but this actually happened. Here's the situation. The buyer and the seller want to do a deal. So the buyer is an individual, but the seller is a family. So several people in the family own the property, uncles, aunties, brothers, sister. So it's a large family and they all owned it. So the blunder would be if only one of the owners signed, not all of them signed. This can blow up in your face at the closing table because you do not have a legally binding contract in which you can complete the transaction. It will blow up in your face. That will be a huge blunder, okay, to sell. Number 2, whether it's an inheritance or even an LLC, so they can be non-related to one another, or it can be maybe a trust sale. Not having all of the correct signatures will void your transaction. So it's really important while you're making your offer, you ask the seller, are you the owner? Are there any other owners? Are you authorized to sign this purchase contract? Do not take it for granted. Ask the question. Look it up online. Online, you can tell who the owner is. Is it an LLC or is it an individual? If it's an individual, great. If it's an LLC, who are the members? And do they need to sign this contract? Or this will be a blunder that can blow up in your face. So if you hung out with me, these whole 7 blunders, you are my favorites, and I appreciate you so much. What we taught here is what we teach our students on a daily basis. So if you'd like to learn more about how we work with our students, go ahead and shoot us a text to Peter, 833-942-4516.